Blog Talk Radio.
Know this, children of God. We own your soul. Your will, what is it?
Well, it's time for Jerry Williams Paranormal Radio. And now, your host for Jerry Williams Paranormal Radio, demonologist, Bishop Jerry Williams.
Hi, welcome to the show. Hello, everybody. This is Jerry Williams. And so tonight we're going to be talking about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, the hairy man from Alaska. These are all different topics that people always, you know, bring up and discuss. Now, I've heard a lot of about Bigfoot. I've heard this pretty much, you know, almost my whole life. But I got to tell you, my wife's stepfather, he does Bigfoot hunting himself. He goes out and he loves finding Bigfoot. So he'll go out and get all the equipment that he uses, and he looks for Bigfoot. And I think it's becoming a big phenomenon. You know, of course, there's the television series that's on TV called Finding Bigfoot. And, of course, this is something that kind of, you know, promotes or pushes for people to search for Bigfoot. And, you know, what I remember is I remember seeing the first video footage where they showed the one footage of what appears to be somebody, well, something that looks like a Sasquatch or a person, you know, a man that's very tall and hairy, and they call him Bigfoot. And, you know, since, over 40 years ago, they still were always looking for Bigfoot. And, of course, they found probably a lot of different, things where they found Bigfoot out there. Now, my wife's stepfather, he usually goes out and, he'll do the search for Bigfoot. He'll look for him. And now I've never in my entire life since I've been around have ever experienced Bigfoot. I've never seen him. I've never seen the sighting of it. I've never seen the footprints or whatever, but it's a very interesting show. I've watched the show Finding Bigfoot, and I've noticed that, you know, they go through a different process where they, you know, hit a button, or they take a stick and they hit it against a tree trying to communicate with Bigfoot. And the thing is, the more and more you watch stuff and you learn about it, it's pretty interesting. Now, I'm not saying that Bigfoot's real or fake, but I got to tell you, there's a lot of evidence out there that supports that there is something out there, you know. I'm not saying 100%, like I said, it's true or not, but I know that my wife's stepfather, he's been looking, and, you know, he's been around other people who had evidence of, finding Bigfoot and looking at something that looks pretty much like a Sasquatch. But there's two different things there. There's what's called the hairy man, which is in Alaska, and then you have Bigfoot. And, of course, this is pretty much the same similarities of what's going on here. And so I don't know if anybody out there has ever experienced Bigfoot, if you've ever seen Bigfoot. A lot of people have seen different things. But if you have experienced it, you know, I'm kind of wondering what your idea is. And I just kind of figured, you know, we'll see what we get with this. So if you've ever experienced Sasquatch, Bigfoot, or anything, you can call in, and we'd like to hear your story. But before we do that, let's go ahead and examine who Bigfoot is, who the hairy man is, who's the Sasquatch, and then we'll get to the rest of the phone calls and everything. All right, so let's look at the what you're about ready to hear is actually the 10 most encounters of Bigfoot, the closest encounters from Finding Bigfoot, the series. So that's, well, that's what the series is, but okay, let me see. Actually, I lied to you. I'm not going to do that. Let's go and look at what a Sasquatch is, first off, and go there.
Hairy Man Encounters from Alaska. The Talaxic River Hairy Man. Some years ago, my brother Alan and I went moose hunting up the Talaxic River during one weekend in late September, when moose hunting used to be 30 days long. We brought along Mitchell, a friend who worked at the Bethel Hospital as a licensed practical nurse. It took most of the day to get way up the Talaxic River in a 40-horsepower short shaft and John boat, and we camped pretty close to the killbucks. The next day, we heard a bull grunting upriver inside a feeder stream, so my hunting partners went to check on it while I went off in the opposite direction, a little downstream from our camp. I had stopped on the edge of a clearing in brush to watch the river and clearing for animals. Sometime later, I saw something walking across the clearing, but it was walking upright like a human. I first thought it was an animal, either a moose or a bear, but as it came closer, I couldn't really figure out what it was. I saw the upper part of the body, head and shoulders, above the tall grass. And when it reached high ground, it walked with a side-to-side sway of the body, like a person does when climbing a hill. Then I thought it could be another hunter, but as far as we knew, we were the only ones in that area, and we didn't see any other hunters or camps below us. The odd thing about this person was that it had reddish hair all over, and the morning sun glistened off its head and shoulders. It was a couple hundred yards away or more. Then Mitchell, or my brother, broke a dry stick while walking down to camp. The noise of the breaking stick was loud during the calm, sunny morning, and it carried far. The man-beast suddenly straightened up and froze, looking in the direction of the noise. A few moments later, it sidestepped slowly toward a couple spruce trees about 18 to 20 feet away and stopped between them, standing still. It watched for a long time for the source of the noise. I also watched the animal for a time. The hairy man never moved. After a while, I realized this was not an animal that I knew, and I began to feel a little uncomfortable about it, so I slipped out of my hiding place and walked quietly back to camp. When I told my brother I'd seen some kind of animal, he got excited that I might have seen a moose instead. We all went to check the spot where I saw the creature, but it wasn't there anymore. In fact, we saw nothing more during our hunt, so we headed back to Bethel before dark set in, since we all had to get back to work the next day. Couple spots hairy man near Chavik. It was about midsummer in Chavik, about salmon berry picking time, and it was somewhat drizzling that day. However, it wasn't affecting visibility that much, as one could see about 5 miles. My girlfriend and I had just brought a granddaughter to the airport on a four-wheeler for her to catch a plane to Hooper Bay. We had just boarded her when my girlfriend spotted a large upright figure, like a large person, walking on top of a bluff about a mile away west of the airport. "Hey, look at that. What is that?" my girlfriend asked me. I looked and saw the human-like figure going down a bluff and behind a stand of brush about 100 to 150 feet wide. I watched the end of the bush, expecting it to show up from there. But the large figure then reappeared a few moments nearer, about a half mile away or less. "Wow, it's really huge. What is that?" we said. It was dark in color, really dark. This time it was moving south and moving fast on two legs, even though it was just walking, not running. Then we got on our ATV and began driving toward Chavik on the road. The human-like figure seemed to keep pace or moved at the same speed as the ATV we were riding. We drove about 300 to 400 feet while watching it walking on the tundra. We then stopped to just look at it, and it too stopped to look at us. Then it turned and began walking again and disappeared over a hill. We got off the road and tried to drive our ATV in the direction it went so we could observe it more, but we couldn't move fast enough because of the tundra and tussocks. Because we couldn't move fast enough, we didn't see it again. When it first appeared, it was at least a mile away from Chavik. At that distance, we could tell what something was if it was there. If it were an ATV, we would know. If it were an animal, we would know. If it was a person, we would know. We couldn't believe how fast it moved. It walked on the tundra faster than a human, and I figured that the distance the human-like creature walked in a few minutes, an ATV couldn't do except for maybe in 15 to 20 minutes because of the tundra. The area where we saw it was the same area where one of my young nephews saw a large upright person some time ago when he was fishing for tomcods. Also in the past few years, there have been quite a few hairy man sightings on the Chavik, Hooper, Scammon Bay area. What we saw must have been one of those. This sighting occurred in the summer of 2011. Hairy man and boy have stare down. This happened when the witness was 7 years old. He remembers everything vividly, even his age when he saw the hairy man. When he was just a young boy, John and his family were at a fish camp near Quetzalcoatl. One fine day, John and his friends were out swimming and playing a game of Not It, when he ran around the corner of the beach and brush along the river. Suddenly, John stopped. He saw a hairy man, standing less than 100 feet away, looking at him. The creature and John stared at each other for a long moment. Then John looked back behind him to see if his friends were there, and seeing the creature too, but they weren't there. When he turned around to look at the hairy man again, it was gone. John then quit playing with his friends and went to his family's camp where his mother met him. She asked why he seemed so anxious, and John told her he had just seen a Kerryak, not knowing how else to call the hairy man. Kerryak is the Yipik name for beast, often for the brown bear. John's mother then told his father what happened. Then John and his dad left to inspect what he was talking about. All they saw were these strange tracks in the grass, which appeared to be spun around at a point where the hairy man was standing and ran off. John's father followed the tracks for a short way but didn't see what made them. To this day, John remembers the hairy man as a tall creature, about 8 to 9 feet high, and while standing, its arms extended past its knees. It was hairy all over, the color being light brown. Its face looked like a cross between an ape and a man. Its eyes were small on a gray face, and its nose seemed flat. The creature's chest, although hairy, showed a pinkish skin color beneath it. John said he didn't feel any fear at the moment when he saw the hairy man, which was standing just in front of the trees when he saw it, but his mother later told John he appeared pale and perplexed when he came home after that moment of seeing the creature. To this day, John, now an adult, has never seen anything like it again. However, whenever he's out alone in the wilderness and remembers his hairy man encounter, the hair on the back of his neck starts to stick out a little. Captured by a hairy man. Here is one from Rampart. It is one of the strangest hairy man stories ever told. The story is told by Norma Cobb in her book, Arctic Homestead. In the interior of Alaska, the hairy man is known as the Bushman. There was an elderly woman who was known as a medicine woman because of her experience as a young girl. She was out picking berries with others near Rampart when she was kidnapped by a Bushman. She was taken into the wilderness and brought to a cave where she saw other members of the hairy man's family or group. In that cave, they were both male and female hairy man people and even young ones. They were hairy and wore no clothes and smelled badly, but one of the babies of the hairy man people was very sick. Then she learned somehow that she had been taken and brought to the Bushman's cave to help take care of the sick baby. They spoke to her without talking. She learned the hairy man people thought a human would help make the baby well, and that is why they took her. After a time, the baby Bushman finally recovered, and after that they let her go because they thought she had helped make the baby well again. They also let her go as long as she didn't tell anyone where they lived. They then brought her back to her village. In the book, Arctic Homestead, the author adds that the Bushmen told the young girl that they are afraid of showing themselves to humans because humans chase them and shoot at them. That's why they demanded she tell no one where they lived. No miner kills a hairy man. This story has been around for a long time, which happened in the 1960s. Variations of the story come and go. John Joyner was a miner from Nome who had a mine near Jade Mountain on Doll Creek. The Jade Mountains are the westernmost peaks of the Brooks Range. Mr. Joyner told his story that he killed a Bigfoot-like animal near his mine, which he thought was a bear at first, but when he looked at the bear he killed, he didn't know what it was, but it resembled a human being. He got real scared of what he had killed, and believing that he would get in trouble for it, he cut it up and threw the pieces into the stream near his mine. Mr. Joyner eventually did tell some people about his kill. One of the people was a BLM representative from the Nome office, who also reported it. Strong-smelling creature in the woods near fish camp. The hairy man is also known by its smell. Here is a hairy man story that happened many years ago by a woman who lives in Bethel. When I was still very young, we had moved to a fish camp across from Napakiak. My stepfather never allowed us to leave waste in our potties when we went to the bathroom, so we had to empty it right away in a ditch he made for that. On this day, I remember, I must have been 6 or 7 years old or even younger. I had to use the bathroom while we were playing. I ran up to our tent, relieved myself, and took the potty to the ditch to empty. I noticed the grass was getting tall where there were no trees along the path to the ditch, and behind it inside the trees there was no grass, just some growth far apart, and it looked really nice. I never went inside the trees before because I never really could see beyond the ditch where we emptied our potty and honey bucket plus our dishpan and clothes washing tub water. But that time I thought there might be bird's nests or baby snowshoe rabbits, so I walked back there. While going back, I bent down to pick a beautiful little flower. Then something went past my left ear, like wood making a swoosh, swoosh, swoosh sound, like it was flipping over and over as it went past my head. I didn't see anyone or anything, but I smelled something really strong, like a wet dog, but stronger and different. I went back to the fish camp. Later on, another sunny day, Mum's aunt, we always called her Mum or Mama Q, decided to look for Punk behind our fish camp. That evening, she asked my Mum's uncle if he teased her and threw a treetop at her. When he said he hadn't been in the trees, she asked other people if anyone threw a Y-shaped treetop at her. Everyone said they hadn't been in the woods. My stepfather asked if she had smelled anything. She thought for a few seconds and then said yes, describing the smell. It was the same smell I had smelled. She also described the piece of wood making a loud swooshing sound and landing in front of her on the left side of her head, too. She asked my stepfather why he asked her that. My stepfather said while he gathered dry wood to cook for his dogs, he smelled what she described, but no piece of wood was thrown at him, and he didn't see anything. When I remembered that piece of dry wood and the smell, I told him about it. Then my stepfather said that there is a hairy man back there. He told us not to go in the woods alone. I never hear of them, the hairy man, hurting anyone or hitting a person when they throw things at people. Just the same, people tell us not to go in the woods if something like pieces of wood swoosh by us and land somewhere near us. Or if we smell something strong other than our dumping ditches for our waste, fish gut ditches, or dog smells. Plane buzzes hairy man people running over ice. In May of 2012, a plane took off from Bethel and headed upriver. Following the Kuskokwim River, the river was breaking up and the snow had pretty much melted, but many big lakes were still frozen over. For two people in the plane, the flight seemed to be much like any routine flight. However, just as they passed Tuluksuk, the passenger saw something on his side of the plane. He saw two upright but dark creatures running like people on the large frozen lake. "Hey, look at those things over there," the passenger said to the pilot, pointing toward the lake. According to the passenger, the two upright creatures, one large and one small, were running on top of pure white ice. They were dark-colored and appeared to be fleeing because of the plane. The pilot looked but couldn't see what the passenger was looking at. He turned the plane at an angle, but only saw one figure that looked like it was holding something on its chest, like how we carry a box, and running. At that point, they were running side by side, the passenger said. The pair appeared to be a parent and an offspring. The creatures may have been running for the shoreline and the safety of the forest. They were running really fast, the passenger said. The pilot then turned the plane toward the running creatures, and just as they buzzed or flew over them, the animals jumped into the ring of meltwater around the lake. According to the passenger, the large one jumped in first, followed by the smaller one. They caused a large wake or ring of water to spread out on top of the water, he said. The plane circled back and flew over the lake for a time, waiting for the creatures to emerge, but they did not, so the pilot turned the plane upriver and kept going. Bigfoot follows women during night ride. The thought of what she saw gives her the creeps even today, she says. I believe in them, Bigfoot. The lady is from Bethel. Years ago in the 1990s, she and her younger sister were traveling by snow machine to Bethel from one of the tundra villages. The sister was driving the snow machine and she was riding in the sled. It was nighttime and the moon was full and bright, illuminating the frozen tundra. Stars shone in the sky and there was not a cloud in sight. One could see a long way on a night like this. The lady riding in the sled had been wearing glasses but took them off because they kept fogging up, so she tucked them away. The two women were about halfway to Bethel when suddenly her sister stopped the snow machine and said to her, "Look!" Her sister was looking at something. She looked in the same direction and saw a person or someone, a hairy man, waving its arms from a distance away. Thinking it was their brother, the lady in the sled said to her sister that they should go to him. She didn't say why she thought it was their brother, but no, never, the sister said. She told her to put on her glasses and take another look. And I saw a very large, tall person-like creature, a hairy man. Her heart flooded with the pain of fright and shock. She yelled to her sister, "Go!" And off they went, fast. The lady in
All right, so what we just played for you was some, so that was the hairy man. And, of course, you heard some of the stories they were telling you, you know, pertaining to the hairy man. And, of course, Bigfoot, which a lot of people see this really awesome looking creature throughout the United States, and you know, they've really researched and found. I mean, even if you check on, like, you know, some of the video footage and audios and stuff, it just, it's amazing. You know, some of the findings of Bigfoot out there. Now, I think that, you know, somebody hasn't really captured I don't think they have yet, because the only thing I always remember is the footage of the original footage of the Bigfoot walking across in a very slow motion or whatever, and looking back at the camera where they took the photo. I thought it was very interesting to see that. Now, again, Bigfoot is a phenomenon. It's really very popular, and people are really doing this now. They're actually, you know, doing investigations, kind of like paranormal, where they look for ghosts. Now they're looking for Bigfoot, and they've been doing it for years. So it's very interesting. So let's do this. I'm going to bring David in. He's our friend. And, you know, he kind of does a little co-host every once in a while for me. So we're going to bring him in, because he's going to explain to you, apparently he has some good Bigfoot stories. So let me bring David in. Hey, David, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Jerry. Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
And my dog just tried to attack one of the cats. So if that's what you heard. He's getting a little cantankerous in his old age. I guess I will be too if I make it to his age. So, I pulled up and saw that you were doing Bigfoot tonight. And as I've told you before, you may not remember, but where I live, I mean, we have a Sasquatch, a designated Sasquatch sanctuary. Sightings of Sasquatch they bastardized the word. They call it wood booger here because they said that's what the old timers called it in this area, which is totally untrue. That's what somebody was interviewed on Finding Bigfoot. They were here, and someone told them, mentioned it as a wood booger. No, most of the older people, and I'm going back 100 years and beyond, you know, like my grandmother, you know, she heard us, she would be 105 if she were alive today. But she told the story of hearing about something that they didn't call it wood booger. It was in the woods, and they just called it a booger, and not the kind of booger that's in your nose, but booger as in a boogeyman. But it was just a booger. But a booger's going to get you, they would say. But and you know that led to somehow it getting on Animal Planet as the wood booger. So people in this area went crazy. There's a hardware store independently owned and somehow managed to stay in business because they sell fine, you know, imported cigars, and then they sell wood booger, aka Bigfoot, merchandise all over the world after Animal Planet was in this area. They even did a split up. If you've seen every episode, I don't remember what season. This was 2009-10 when they were here. But they even a couple of them split up. You know, the host, I can't even remember his name, but and the short haired lady, they each did solo campouts. Literally, like I can see the area they were at from my home. And
Wow.
Yeah, I was just watching a Sasquatch Sanctuary video on YouTube, and they were up on the mountain, and they were overlooking, you know, the city I live in. I actually saw my house on the video, and I'm like, wow. So, but that's neither here nor there. But there's a restaurant nearby with a Bigfoot theme and a Bigfoot statue in front, and they have, you know, the board, the thing set up with the hole cut out, and you stick your head in it and have your picture made like they have at all the tourist attractions. Yeah, they have like a, you know, a Bigfoot couple like a male and female Bigfoot with the head missing, and you can stick your head in the hole and have, you know, have a picture, you know, of yourself as Bigfoot. There's Bigfoot, if you go inside, and I told you about, you know, when you come here, you know, they have pretty decent food as well, but they have like a Bigfoot statue inside, and then they have art and coloring pages and drawings submitted by children and customers over the years since they've been, you know, open of Bigfoot. So just here where I live, there's like three Bigfoot attractions. And up on the mountain, there's a recreation area with a like an 8-foot replica statue of Bigfoot that they had erected.
Really?
Wow. Years after Animal Planet was here. Yeah, personally, I've never heard about a lot of sightings except a long time ago. You know, people said they had heard, you know, there were sightings. But apparently there was a lot of people writing in and, you know, emailing into Finding Bigfoot, you know, and they had enough of, you know, a report. And so they came, you know, from Virginia. So they came and done one of their town halls a couple of hours from here in a town called Saltville, Virginia. And during the town hall, several people stood up, and this was on the episode, and mentioned that they had seen Bigfoot in this area, this mountain. It's one of the highest, if not the highest point in Virginia. Mount Rogers may actually be higher, but it's 40-some hundred feet elevation. It's called High Knob, K-N-O-B. And if you work there, you get a knob job, but... But no, there's only a handful of people that live on that mountain. There's a couple of lakes, and there's mainly just national forest. There's a couple of campgrounds, and then there's national forest, hiking trails, and things like that. And then there's a big rock with a flag planted on it that you can see all over the city. That's called Flag Rock, and that's where they put the statue of Bigfoot, or as they call him here now, Woodbugger, and that's all one word, Woodbugger. And this hardware company has sold literally tens of thousands of T-shirts all over the world and Woodbugger merchandise, and they have the little smaller Woodbugger statues. And, you know, like I said, they've managed to stay in business through it all by having, you know, hard-to-get items, and then they really took off when they started selling the Bigfoot merchandise. They have a couple of festivals here. One is like an event within a festival, and it's the Woodbugger Hollering Contest, where literally people come and do their Bigfoot calls like they do on the show. You know, you've seen them. Everyone's different. They go, you know, how they get out and they yell like Tarzan in the mountains trying to call Bigfoot because they say that's what Bigfoot does. They have a Bigfoot hollering contest. They have a Woodbugger look-alike contest where people dress up like Bigfoot and either, you know, purchased or homemade costumes. And then they have it every year. I think it was canceled, you know, in 2020 due to COVID, but they have, you know, for the last 8 years or maybe even going on 10 years now, with the exception of last year, they have the annual Woodbugger Festival, which is an all-day thing, and they had people recently from as far away as Canada that came just to go to this festival. So there's definitely been some sightings, and I wanted to give you some evidence and talking points on both sides. So reasons why there may not be a Bigfoot: there's never been one Bigfoot fossil, bone fragment, hair, not one piece of a dead Bigfoot or an entire dead Bigfoot ever found, ever.
Yeah.
Not one tangible object connected to a Bigfoot has ever been found. No living quarters, no homes, no Bigfoot shit. I mean, if you go to an area where Bigfoots are seen frequently, there should be piles of Bigfoot shit on the ground. There's been no shit found, no homes, living quarters, caves, holes in the ground, what have you. There's only the video. The first video, of course, the Patterson-Gimlin film from, I think it was 1967. It's in Washington State in the Cascade Mountains, if memory serves. Since then, there's been literally tens of thousands of videos, everything from an escaped gorilla, a bear, Cody walking on two legs. Everything has been mistaken for Bigfoot. Most of the Bigfoot videos have been debunked. A lot of them out there that either they can't debunk or they haven't found a way to debunk it yet. But no one's ever been hurt that we know of or killed by a Bigfoot. They say Bigfoot, probably are like humans and they have families, but the single ones you see out are probably rogue Bigfoots. But my biggest argument for no Bigfoots don't exist, or Big Feet, however you want to say it, Sasquatch, is there's never been one even drop of blood, any DNA, nothing ever found. No.
Right.
And then the earliest sightings in the 20th century were debunked when they found the plaster cast made of the large feet that the guy used to make footprints. This was in Northern California. I think you may have heard about that. He started some sightings back, well over 100 years ago, and kept it up for 30, 40 years, and then his son told all about it after his father died. And there's a documentary about it, an interview. Of course, that's just one location. Now, that kind of, sheds light on some of the sightings, but in Outer Mongolia and China, it's the Yeti. There are hieroglyphics and Native American cave paintings depicting a large man beast. Some of the tales of this creature goes back well over 300 years in this country. I mean, long before we even had a constitution, there were Bigfoot sightings and Sasquatch sightings. Sasquatch is a Native American word. So, they were seeing it long before we were even in this country, long before, America was a country. There were Bigfoot sightings in what is now modern-day America. So there's one of your pros to say, hey, Bigfoot may exist. And another theory is of why we never see a dead body or anything like that is because they bury their dead. But you'd think there's some, big Sasquatch out there that are the last in their family that would die, and then no one would be able to, to bury them. Maybe they're fed on by animals or what have you. But, so they bury the dead. But there's been sightings on nearly every continent, and I think 6 continents out of 7, with the exception of Antarctica, every continent on Earth, there's been at least a sighting. And in the majority of the United States, there's been reported sightings, even Florida, which has no mountains. They call it the swamp ape, or not the swamp ape, the skunk ape, I'm sorry, in the swamp. Somewhere else there's a swamp ape, maybe Louisiana or something like that. Florida's got the skunk ape. But most sightings are in mountainous areas. And I think everyone in this area knows someone who claims to have saw Bigfoot, but this is bear country. Bear sightings in civilization here is very, very common. It's more common here than it is in Alaska because there's a lot more civilization here. And the bears have no natural enemies, and there's no bear hunting here. I don't know about the rest of Virginia, but I think a lot of the sightings can be attributed to a bear walking on a time lapse.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. there's the video, and it's one of the videos that got it was from somewhere in Virginia, but not near me, that got Finding Bigfoot interested in coming here. This man's on a four-wheeler, and his family's behind him. And, I mean, this is like he's on a four-wheeler in a river. I mean, it's rapids. I mean, he's barely able to go. We're driving up a creek in an ATV, and about 50 yards or so ahead of him, a Sasquatch just walks right across the creek. And that video, it is so grainy. I mean, it was done with a cell phone. I mean, this family mm-hmm. could have planned it, but I doubt it. There's a little kid, and you can look up the video just by typing in Bigfoot in Virginia. It brings up a clip from Finding Bigfoot, and they show that. But, I mean, this was just a grainy cell phone video back when, you know, from like 2010. Back before, you know, you had 4K and HD cameras on your phone. And they were just videoing the dad on the four-wheeler trying to go up the river. And when the Bigfoot goes across and he stops and points. Now, he could have had it planned because he stopped and turns around and points. But the rest of them, if he was in on it, he was probably the only one that knew about it, because you can hear his kid like, "What was that?" And, you know, and that's experts have looked at that video and says, you know, that whatever that was about 7 feet tall. Unless this guy had a 7 foot tall friend willing to dress up in an ape costume, you know, then it's unexplained. So that's one of the few videos that haven't been debunked. The Patterson-Gimlin, it's been debunked and then unbunked and then debunked again so many times. But the Patterson-Gimlin film to me was probably some early footage that later became the $6 Million Man, because if you remember, do you remember Sasquatch on the $6 Million Man on a couple of episodes where Steve Austin had to fight Sasquatch or whatever? All right, the Bigfoot on the Patterson-Gimlin film looks exactly like the Sasquatch on the $6 Million Man shows of the 70s. So,
think
that one's...
Yes.
I think there's a lot of them that can be proven fake, but there's a lot that hasn't been, and it probably never will be, and I would love to see one myself.
Interesting.
And I've got that story about a Bigfoot in the book that I wrote. If you remember.
Oh yeah.
You know, about the now that's loosely based on, you know, a local legend about two men robbing a local bank and hiding out in a cave on a mountaintop or a mountainside and encountering a wood booger or a booger, a Sasquatch. Interesting topic.
It is. It was funny because I a long time ago, you know, I covered this a long time ago. I even had people, you know, people were calling in and telling me about, you know, some of what they've witnessed it was so weird. Like one person, and of course, you know, you get some of the crazy people too, like just like politics.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy called in. He's like, I've been sleeping, you know, with this female Sasquatch, and so we have kids. And I'm like, what the? Oh, okay. And this motherfucker believed it. I thought, okay, he really truly believed that he actually did this.
Wow. Man. Well, you know, and I'm sure there's a few people out there, Jerry, who are faking pictures and faking videos.
Oh, yeah.
It's so easy to do, you know, for their 15 minutes of fame or for getting something to go viral. Having a viral video on YouTube is very lucrative. You can make some money. And now with TikTok and Instagram, you can make money faking videos. But Bigfoot, Sasquatch sightings, you know, they not only predate, you know, video cameras, they predate photography. I mean, there's been sightings pretty much since, you know, modern man. Like I said, you know, the Native Americans have stories going back hundreds of years about Sasquatch, and they're the ones that gave it the name Sasquatch. So there's something to that.
Yeah.
Some people think it's the missing link. So
it makes me wonder, because I'm like, you know, even back then I was kind of fascinated by the Bigfoot or Sasquatch, and but I always thought that video, the one we were talking about, the original one, where the first one that came out in the 60s or whatever, I always wondered. I'm like, is that some fake, you know, somebody in a monkey suit or something, you know? That's what I thought even back then.
Experts have looked at it and said the stride, and the stride of the arms and the legs and the length of the arms is consistent with something over 7 feet tall. But a lot of tall actors looking for work at that time, and I mean, and now too, and you know, and and I don't know his name, probably the only thing is around, but the actor that played Sasquatch in the $6 Million Man was very scary. And very convincing, and me being just, you know, a few years old at the time, you know, it scared the shit out of me. And then years later, seeing the Patterson-Gimlin film, I'm like, that's Sasquatch from $6 Million Man. But he looks at the camera, and I honestly think it was footage for something that wasn't used. And
you're right. That's what it seems like. It's like they were filming stuff, like that's what it looked like, a piece from a movie that was taken out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course,
like it was something that was supposed to be for something.
But it is silent. But what really gets me is it's just a few seconds, and literally the video begins about 2 seconds before the Sasquatch comes into view. So
right,
it's not like somebody was there videoing, you know, and accidentally captured this on video. I mean, the video starts 2 seconds before you see it and ends as soon as it's off screen. And I mean, and that's it. It's like a 13-second total video. You know, it's not just a clip of a longer video. Motherfucker, 50 miles out into the Cascade Mountains or whatever, wherever he is in Washington State. And, I'm going to record 13 seconds of video while I'm here. You know, I want to see the other videos he took that day.
I know. But it is weird. It's a weird video. But and even the look at the Sasquatch just don't look – it just looks – I don't know, back in the 60s, it looks like a back in the 60s type of – you know, like a monkey suit or something, you know?
I need a little more proof, but,
right.
Like I said, I'm not necessarily a skeptic, but I'm just like, you know, at least show me some DNA, show me a body, you know, a blood sample, a turd.
Exactly. I don't understand. Like you were saying, I'm surprised there would not be like a dead body somewhere. You know what I mean? Like some bones or something. You know, these things have to fight with the wild, and sometimes I'm sure they're not going to make it, you know? So why isn't there like a body laying somewhere or can decompose even?
A bear could probably take a Bigfoot, because they say most people say that Sasquatch are docile by nature, so. You know, maybe not a black bear like I have around here, but you know, I think a Kodiak or another grizzly could easily, you know, any brown bear, you know, some of those bears are 8 and 10 feet tall, standing on their hind legs, and weigh 1,000 pounds. I mean, you know, I think they could probably take out a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I don't understand like. So many people say they see them. I mean, you hear about this all the time, but there's not really any evidence. There's no evidence at all.
Right. And I mean, and if bears completely consumed dead Bigfoot, we would find we would find their fur in the bear shit.
That's right. But, exactly. Yep.
So it's one of those things we probably never will never know for sure, and unless one is captured or killed, and hopefully it'll be captured and not killed. But just like you're gonna have to show me an alien. Or their vessel that they came here on to prove to me that UFOs are actually spacecraft.
I think everybody
has seen a UFO, because a UFO does not mean an alien spacecraft. It just means you don't know what it is. It's unidentified.
That's right.
You tell someone you've seen a UFO, they're like, bullshit. Well, I did see it. I didn't know I could identify it, and it was flying. So it's an unidentified flying object. But
that's what I say. I gotta physically see it.
So
that's my.
And then there's
the
Loch Ness monster.
Oh yeah.
But there's been a serpent like that seen in every large lake in the world.
That's right.
You get that lake out, that's been there for over 1,000 years, that's 1,000 feet deep. You don't know what the fuck's in there. Surely something new is going to rear its head every now and then. So, yeah, I would totally believe in Nessie and Champ and all because there are things that look like that are believed extinct, and some of them have been extinct for less than 100 years. Maybe a few of them survived in large lakes like that.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
But where does that live? Where are their homes?
Kind of surprised. I'm sure they have, if we look back to when they had animals and you look back, like, to the dinosaurs and everything. Everything was, they had bigger stuff back then, and these animals were bigger. But, there's history in that. There's, they have proof of that, because they have the skeleton bones and so forth. And so, to me, it seems like that's what you got to find here. That's what we have to find is, something that shows that these things existed. But I do believe that, in the water there could be prehistoric, or whatever you want to call it, animals out there. I mean, even crocodiles, those things have been around for a long time.
New aquatic life is found just about every year, something that was either previously thought extinct or we didn't know about. I mean, that seems like they're finding shit every year. And every few years, maybe only once they found a new mammal, some sort of raccoon-like creature that lived exclusively in trees. And I don't even remember where, here maybe 20 years ago. But there have been, that's the last known mammal I can think of that was previously unknown. But they do find new species and new life forms, annually. But no one's ever been able to capture, to kill, there's never been a physical encounter with the Sasquatch, a lot of the videos you see out there are probably something else, and a lot of them are fake. I said there's a handful that makes me scratch my head and say, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you know what the average size of a Sasquatch is? I mean, what are they usually, how tall are they?
You hear everything on the reports from, 7 to well over 10 feet. The general consensus is usually 7 to 8 feet tall. And long arms. Too big to be a human is, if you think in those terms. And they all seem to be, they all seem to be brown to reddish brown to really dark brown, almost black. I've heard one theory. Someone said maybe it was an orangutan, and I'm like, okay, they're like 4 feet tall. You know, so.
I don't think it's an orangutan.
No, but I mean, you hear that they okay. they've compared them to an escape, one escaped, or you know, or something like that, or it was a gorilla, you know, and see a lot of people say, Gorillas can't live in the majority of the places they see Bigfoot. Gorillas have to be where it's warm. That's why they're only in Africa now. And I'm like, oh, no, you got snow gorillas in like Outer Mongolia and then, in the high mountains in China. You've got apes. They're gorillas and they're white, you know, and they blend in with the snow and they are gorillas. So that may be what the Yeti is. There may be some gorillas, a lost species or a evolved, you know, subspecies of ape that have just lived undetected for a while. And maybe since there's been, you know, no bones found, even in excavation sites and stuff, maybe they consume their dead. There are cultures in humans that do that, but there are a lot of animals that consume their dead. And maybe Bigfoot or some sort of, we know they're primate, but I mean, maybe there's some sort of ape, descendant, you know, evolved into their own little species because of where they lived and they've adapted and, you know, they mostly avoid people, and maybe they just sleep in the trees and they have no homes or dens, and that's why we see no, you know, remnants of Bigfoot homes and stuff, because every other animal we found where they lived.
Yeah.
Not Sasquatch. Maybe, you know, I don't think we'll ever know for sure.
Well, and I just wondered, you know, if they you know, procreate. You know, do they have, like, little ones running around? I mean, that's just, you know, it's amazing we haven't seen any, you know, even those.
Yeah, when I was growing up, I thought there was, like, one. You know, like, that was around Washington State, Oregon, and Northern California.
That's what I thought, too.
Because you always heard of there was a Bigfoot, like, one. But now, you know, apparently he was, you know, had girlfriends in every state and every country, and he procreated all over. Now they're all descended from the Patterson Gimlet Bigfoot.
he was the Adam and Eve, you know, of creating all kinds of different Bigfoot. Yeah, I always thought the same thing. That's funny, David. You said that. I always thought when you heard the term Bigfoot, Bigfoot sighting. I'm thinking it's the same damn book, but how the hell do you get from Colorado to, you know, Ohio? And you know,
mm-hmm. Like the Loch Ness Monster. And I'm like, was the Bigfoot.
He must swing for some damn trees fast. I just, you know, and I've watched the TV show Finding Bigfoot a couple times. And like I said, Virginia's stepdad, he actually goes out and does Bigfoot hunting up in the area where we are, where they've had sightings of Bigfoot. And, you know, so he's out there looking for, you know, for the Sasquatch. And he's like, oh, well, you know what, you know, and he goes out there and he's, you know, hunting for, you know, hours on end looking for this creature. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, one day, you know, if you ever find it, you know, make sure you capture it. And he's like, I think the first thing I'll do is if I come up against something that big, I'll be definitely not capturing. I'll be running like hell.
Well, did he have an encounter? Did he have a sighting that made him want to go out and become a Bigfoot hunter? Or was he just
Yeah, so how it happened for him is his brother took a photo of something that looked like Bigfoot. I mean, it did. It looked pretty damn close. It was actually a video photo, you know, like a video as a video footage. And you can see the thing walking through like the back of the woods and the trees, and it's but it looked like fucking Bigfoot. So when he seen that, he was so intrigued into trying to find Bigfoot, you know, and that's what started it for him, was seeing that footage that his brother had, that I guess his brother was taking footage of, and this is the thing, he was taking like video footage out back of his house, and they live in the woods, and it was like, I think that he was filming his kid or something, I can't remember exactly what it was, he was filming something, and it was as they were going through the woods, and then all of a sudden here comes this thing walking across the woods, and it looked just like Bigfoot. I mean, you know, the size of it, everything. And so, you know, he has a whole bunch of footage of it. But then, you know, he showed his brother, he showed Terry, which is Virginia's stepdad. So he got really interested so much about finding Bigfoot, so he started to go do it. Then the TV show came out, of course, Bigfoot, Finding Bigfoot, and he started watching that, and he started getting more and more involved and wanting to do it. It's kind of like paranormal investigating, for example. You know, people, you know, never wanted to do you know, there was nothing about paranormal investigating until the TV shows came out, like Taps and Ghost Adventures and all these other ones, and now
Ghost
it's becoming
Hunters,
more and more popular.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you know what's going to happen if Sasquatch are proven real, and then, you know, they actually have some alive, and, you know, and then actually find their habitat and all that, and we come to the realization that, yeah, Sasquatch are, in fact, real, you know, and then because they're so much like us, only bigger and hairier, you know, pretty soon it's just a matter of time. There's going to be a show out there, you know, like where people are hunting for ghosts of Sasquatch.
Yeah.
we're going to this haunted forest where it's said to be inhabited by the ghost of a Sasquatch.
Exactly. That's exactly. You know, and that's
haunting
funny.
Bigfoot.
People used to. Huh? Yeah,
haunting,
I mean,
Bigfoot.
So, people always bring up good points when it was like for ghost hunting and paranormal and shit like that. You know, people always said to me, they always said, if ghosts are real, so if you have ghosts out there, why are there, you know, because there's animal spirits and so forth, why isn't there ghosts of, like, dinosaurs and, you know, and stuff like that? And I'm like, well, that's a good point, you know. I never thought about that. But,
how come we only see, you know, like, ghosts from, like, the Civil War and beyond and after? Like, you don't ever see ghosts about people that, from people that live like 1,000 years ago, you know. So, why is that? You only see modern day ghosts. What, did they not know how to haunt, you know, because they didn't have that technology? And they had only 19th century and newer ghosts can haunt anything?
Right, exactly. Hey, you know, and I got to tell you, I'm telling you up front, to be honest with you. So, like, when I did paranormal and stuff and all that a long time ago, I actually worked with, worked with a couple TV people. Like, I worked with Ghost Adventures here in Cincinnati. And I will be the first one to tell you that I don't I'm just going to be honest. I do not trust Zach Bagans or any of those guys, because a lot of their footage is, I know for a fact, because I've been around it, is fake, and it is, you know, pre-recorded stuff or, you know, enhanced stuff that's computerized, like voices and EVP. So they do that so that they can, because what people don't realize is it's television. And when it comes to TV, here's what happens. They're not going to sell a program or have sponsors and all this stuff that buys their shit if, you know, or advertisement, if they do a show about ghost hunting and there's nothing ooh and ah and scary and all that, because it has to have drama in it. So in the suspense. So that's why they have to put that stuff in there. You know, and that's why they do that, because of, you know, if they did a ghost hunting show and that was just like nothing but them investigating for 24 hours, it would be very, very boring, because nobody would want to watch it, because there ain't nothing happening, you know.
Well, we've been in this haunted house all weekend, and so far we've seen three mice, a shitload of dust, and too many spiders.
Yeah, dust.
I remember when, you know, they first started having apps for phones and stuff, and there was this app called Ghost App. I think that's what it was called. And there's, it's just like, okay, you go to a haunted place and you open Ghost App, and it'll show you a little blip on the screen where a ghost is, and they're like, oh, Ghost App says there's a ghost over there. Like, it's a fucking app. You downloaded it. Your phone does not have the ability to detect energy, even with that app.
I know.
No, there was a whole group here of ghost hunters that were using that app, and every time they got a blip, they just knew it was a ghost, and I'm like, you can take that into a fucking church and lay it on the Bible, and it would blip. It's designed to blip. It's made you download it, but it's software. There's nothing in that app that detects energy or that can detect if a ghost is real. That app is not going to detect it. But these people all, they did whole things, and then it would. I think it also gave them words or something, you know, randomly.
Yes,
and I was watching
this
video
of
these hillbilly ghost hunters. And it was like, and Ghost App just gave us the word Lincoln, and the gentleman that lives here said the man that lived across the road that is now deceased used to drive a Lincoln.
And you got to think those programs spit out so many words that eventually those words are going to make sense to you, because you're going to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like it puts out a whole shitload of words. So one of those words are going. I guess what I'm trying to say is if you keep doing it over and over, keep guessing, eventually you're going to be right. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing that those words, they pop up and then they keep popping up and keep popping up. And eventually you're going to have a word that's going to say dead or ghost or, you know, whatever, and it's going to come up with that name, and everybody's going to be like, oh, shit, that's what it says. Look, look, look. Don't mind the 24 words it said before that. It didn't make sense.
That would be the ultimate thrill, though, is to see the ghost of a Sasquatch.
Yes, the ghost of a Sasquatch.
From space.
If you can get that, it would be awesome.
Now, I'm going to get hate mail because of that. You're a skeptic, and you just don't believe.
I mean, what Sasquatches? I mean, I'm surprised that, you know, they got to piss somewhere, right? Why did me and somebody haven't found like a urine track?
Well, they can probably piss in the river, but they may be able to shit in the river too. I guess that's why there's never any Sasquatch shit. But some of the places these things have been seen are like miles from running water, so you know they have to go down to the river every time they have to take a shit. Maybe they dig a hole. I mean, who knows? They might shit in the hole. I'll buy that.
Right?
They might dig a hole.
Yeah.
They might bury their feces.
They may bury their feces. Maybe they even eat the shit. You never know, you know. I mean,
well, you know,
that might be
all that hair, I guess all their shit just sticks to them, and that's why they stink so bad.
That's right.
They smell so bad. It's because their shit doesn't hit the ground. It just sticks in their fur.
I mean, if you think about it, canines, they eat shit. So I'm thinking maybe the Sasquatch eats its own shit.
Well, a Sasquatch was taking a shit in the woods next to a rabbit. You heard this?
No.
And the Sasquatch asked the rabbit, he says, do you have a problem with shit sticking to your fur? And the rabbit says, "Why no, Mr. Sasquatch, my shit does not stick to my fur." So the Sasquatch said, "Good." And he picked the rabbit up and wiped his ass with it. Maybe that's
well, you did
what,
the old saying.
All the Sasquatch,
bear,
all the Sasquatch
shit
is on
look.
The back of the rabbit.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Oh, maybe they shit. Maybe they shit out pine cones.
That's true. I mean, think about it. I could see that happening.
Okay, how come there's never people see Bigfoot, Sasquatch, but there's never tracks anymore or footprints. They see them in mud. But how come you don't see them, like, you know, with the weeds bent over and weighed down? Where
right.
You know, next to the trail where you saw the, you'll see a couple of Bigfoot tracks. Well, where the fuck did he come from?
Exactly. Because you don't see the footprints in there, right?
Right.
And they
but
always
if someone
have
tells me
something
they saw something, I will believe they saw something. Anybody else on the line, Jerry?
No, I figured, and
you
I figured
these shows
somebody
up
would actually.
You put these shows up too late, like 3 hours before you were scheduled to come on, you weren't listed, and then all of a sudden you're listed with the show. You didn't schedule this show till like 2 hours before it was scheduled to start, did you?
No, I think I scheduled
it. I checked.
I thought it was right. It was 9 o'clock my time.
9 o'clock, so right? Yeah. So, because I checked and there was nothing there earlier. So yeah, about nine. You say, see, you got to start advertising these shows a little earlier.
Well, you know, you figure that, but when you get the politics, especially when I do call, I mean, usually we get some callers, but some of them, of course, I don't pick them up because the majority of them are idiots that are stuck out there in the world that are still hanging on for, you know, hoping that Donald Trump will be president here in November.
Oh,
so
I've already seen the Trump 2024 sign.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm like,
that's it.
I'm like, no. You can't run for president from Rikers Island.
That's right.
Wait,
exactly.
Right. So, New York prosecutor, you know, what do you think he ran for president as a New Yorker and ended up being a Floridian? Yeah. Oh, we were supposed to be talking about Sasquatch, so we can talk about Trump and call him the big nut. Where is Donald Trump? Is he in Trump Tower? Is he in Mar-a-Lago? Tune in tonight on Finding Big Butt. Wow, did you see the size of his ass? I think I saw Trump. His ass was as big as that wall.
No good for him to say, I think we're finding big ass here. Here he is. Look at this. We can find that the evidence that he's been here, he's got the Big Mac wrappers. And and look at this. Oh, man, it's Adderall. Oh, my God, that's
yeah,
funny.
Instead of doing the Tarzan yell.
Yeah, the Tarzan yell. He would definitely have
the Tarzan
that.
Yell for Bigfoot. For Trump, you wouldn't do the Tarzan yell, Jerry. You would go, instead of going, ah! You would go, "Four!"
Come on,
that's the only language he knows. Four!
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of it. It's, you know, and of course, you know, did you get your stimulus yet?
I got my stimulus the day after Biden signed it into law. He signed
Damn,
it last Thursday. I had it like 15 minutes after. Well, I don't know what time it came. It wasn't there like at 1:30. At 15 after 2, I checked and it was there. So it must have came around 2.
Wow.
So, but, you know, the previous stimulus, the $600, you know, Trump refused to sign for a week. He signed late on the 27th. They started sending out payments on the 28th of December. I got mine on the 30th last time, you know, a little over 2 days after it was signed. But the process is a little smoother. It's gotten a little better now. So I was really ecstatic to see that in there, you know. So I was like, well, not, you know, I did my part to stimulate the economy. I spent money. I mean, I spent mine on things that I
need.
That I needed. And, oh, you know, it allowed me to, I mean, I don't hurt for money anyway, but it allowed me to splurge. So now I've got like 3 or 4 different kinds of marijuana. So, see, Virginia could be ripping that tax money, but they decided to, you know, to wait for the retail sales for 3 fucking more years. Well, 2.5 years, but.
Yeah,
but Virginia,
yeah, hopefully it'll go through.
That's why we have a lot of Sasquatch here. We're becoming a very progressive state. We recently voted in an increase to minimum wage here. Voted to decriminalize and then voted to legalize recreational marijuana. And way back in, like, gosh, 2013 or 14, it was, it was before 2013. It was before the Supreme Court, you know, decided that same-sex marriage would be legal, you know, nationwide. Our attorney general decided he was no longer going to defend Virginia in lawsuits from same-sex couples. He was no longer going to, you know, because the attorney general was no longer going to defend the Commonwealth of Virginia when they were being sued by same-sex couples for the right to marry. But, you know, and then when gay marriage was passed, you know, that was great. But our attorney general said, you know, I'm not going to defend the state in the lawsuits. But there, man, I don't know if any ever made it before that was legalized. But yeah, we're progressive. That's why the Sasquatch like us, because, you know, they're all liberals. They're for clean air and water. Well, since we switched to politics, but it's supposed to be about Bigfoot, I'm trying to keep it on track.
Right. Put it back and forth. That's good.
Well, you know, the reason they like liberals is because they like their clean water. You know, they live in the woods. They don't like fossil fuels. They don't like, you know, deforestation. And however you say it, is it deforestation or deforestization? They don't like the overcutting of the goddamn trees. You know, and
the forestation. Oh, man. That's what. Well, I did see Sasquatch up there with a Biden hat on, at least, you know, so I know.
Well,
I do know that
he
supports him.
And
he's being hunted by a bunch of fucking Trump supporters.
Well, you know, they're smart. They walk on 2 legs. And, you know, and they're gentle and docile by nature, which, you know, most Trump supporters can't claim one, let alone all 3 of those. I mean, seriously, about 20% of the Trump supporters do not walk on 2 legs. You know, they walk on all 4s or they drive Mark carts, you know, everywhere they go.
Oh, my God, you're so right. Yeah, by the way, you had, you know, somebody actually sent you a personal letter. They asked you a personal email. Somebody wanted to So there's this dude, his name's Calvin, and he didn't say where he was from, obviously. But he did email, and he wanted to know. He's listened to many, many different shows that we've done here for a long time. But he asked, he said, he wanted to ask if you were really gay. He's like, is David really gay? Is he, he said, because he wanted to know, because he said, I wanted to know if the guy that comes on your show, David, is really gay or homosexual, because he doesn't seem like it. I just wanted to find out what the truth is about this guy. And I said, okay, well, I'll give it to David. Here you go. That's your email.
So I would like to say, define what would one have to do to seem gay? Is it because I'm not stereotypical? Because I'm not overly feminine and talk with a lisp? I mean, I wonder if this person is gay themselves, or you know, or just you know, basically that's kind of a bigoted. It's a double-edged sword, because I also take that as a compliment, but because you know I am who I am, and so if you know you have to have gaydar to be able to tell if one's gay anyway, unless they are obvious and, you know, effeminate or whatever. But, you know, so I kind of take that as a compliment, because I don't think that I'm very effeminate either. But on the other hand, it's kind of bigoted, because that's like telling someone by listening to them on the show you didn't know that they were insert race. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, really? You know, he didn't sound Latino, or he didn't sound black. I mean, so you know, he doesn't seem black. So you know, so think of it that way. Because what does one have to do to seem gay? Should I get on here and talk about redecorating, or? I would probably be the first gay person to have my life redone by Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. There needs to be a show, Queer Eye for the Guy Who Acts and Looks and Lives, or Who Acts and Looks Straight but is Really Gay. That's what I need.
I mean, do they expect you to talk different and, you know, be flamboyant or whatever you want to call it? I don't know what he's trying to say here. It seems like you're right.
I guess I'm the opposite of a metrosexual. A metrosexual is like a sensitive heterosexual guy with really good taste and respect for women. That's a metrosexual. So I guess a metrosexual is someone you would assume at first glance was gay. That's not. I guess I'm someone you would assume at first glance that's straight. That's not. So if there's a word for that, then.
Yeah,
but yeah, I do appreciate the question. So, but
it's very interesting. Somebody actually would say that.
I am gay.
Anyway, that.
I guess I would kind of. I'm not offended at all. But I guess I kind of would be if that was the first time I heard that. But. Right. I've even had people, you know, jokingly, and then other people seriously say, "Are you sure you're gay?" I mean, look at you. You wear a ball cap. You go days without shaving. You know every word to every Garth Brooks song. You know, no, you're not gay. You know.
I mean, does he expect you to listen to Liza Minnelli and all? You know. That's just the stereotype that they put out there.
Nothing wrong with that,
you know?
Either. That's, you know, that's not my taste in music, but I appreciate the art in anything.
Exactly.
That's why I've come to appreciate bluegrass music a little bit more than I did previously, because it's art, and modern bluegrass is nothing like it used to be.
Yeah.
But I can even appreciate the old stuff, you know, and being from the same area and being, you know, related to the late, great Ralph Stanley. So, but, you know, there's not a lot of gay people that can say that they like bluegrass. And it's not that I like it. I don't ever listen to it. But, you know, at least I don't turn it off if I hear it now, or at least it doesn't, you know, make me like, oh, my God, turn that off, like I used to be. Of course, when I was a teenager, I was that way about country music.
Me too.
Growing up as a teenager, I had my Guns N' Roses, T-shirt, my long, bushy 80s glam rock hair, had an earring in my left ear with a skull with an axe through it. I wore jeans with holes in them and strings everywhere, and snake skin boots with spikes and conchos on them, and and people thought I worshipped the fucking devil. And I was like, man, I don't even like devil music, because there was a couple of bands out there that were like playing that up, you know, the whole satanic panic,
right.
You know, hoping kids would buy their shit just to piss their parents off. That's not the kind of bands I listen to, like the ones that were claiming to be devil worshippers, you know. But I definitely listen to like shows. I definitely didn't listen to show tunes and shit like that either. I mean.
And there was a band out there that was I remember they were like a Christian band, Striper. You remember
Striper.
Them?
Striper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were like
Striper,
a Christian, but they did like rock and roll.
Oh yeah, the Striper was fairly decent. They actually did a tour with King Diamond, who was an open Satanist.
Oh, yeah.
They did a tour with him,
King
and
Diamond,
it was literally called the Heaven and Hell Tour.
Yep.
It literally,
you got Ozzy Osbourne,
literally,
of course,
was.
You know.
Yeah,
old Ozzy,
he
did all that. He did all that dark stuff, you know.
Right. The whole bat thing. I think I told about that on this story where he actually, people would bring, you know, toy bats, rubber bats, and throw them on stage, and he would bite their heads off, and then someone threw a real dead bat, and he bit the head off, and everybody's like, he bit the head off of a real bat, like he didn't fucking mean to. He thought it was fake. He's been doing that shit for years.
He's walking out there going, thanks, motherfuckers, bring me back to the Black Plague.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something if we found out Ozzy's the one that started the coronavirus in the United States because of the bat?
You know, they used to say that somewhere along the line, they used to say that he used to pass around buckets and people would spit it and you'd drink it. And
it wasn't true. I heard the same thing about Gene Simmons.
Yeah, and they had this guy that was in my area when I was doing Elvis, when I was an Elvis impersonator. And this one guy, he was an Ozzy Osbourne impersonator. So he would do it at these concerts, man. He'd be passing his bucket and people would be spitting it. And then he would actually drink this shit. And I'm like, are you fucking, what's wrong with you, man? I mean, I'm glad I pass out scars and shit like that. I think, you know, you don't see Elvis drinking, you know, spitted up juice from somebody's mouth. You don't know what the hell's in there, you know.
Right, but see, I heard the same thing growing up about Gene Simmons and that he would drink blood and all this, and he had everybody spitting, you know, in the front row spitting the cup, and he drank it, which was totally, totally untrue. I mean, who the fuck's going to do that that's got all this money and famous? Nobody. I mean, there was when Motley Crue was on their Girls, Girls, Girls tour. And or maybe the Shout at the Devil album before Girls, Girls, Girls. I think it's Girls, 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 because that kind of lifted them into more of a mainstream, you know, with their popularity, and then they started headlining. But they toured with Ozzy for a while, and I've always been a big Motley Crue fan, the original four Motley Crue. You know, when they had that one, I don't even remember the fucker's name that did the one album with them. Hooligans, Holiday! I'm like, they're not Motley Crue anymore. They all look alike. I'm so glad when they got Vince back. But watch The Dirt on Netflix. It's fucking so factually accurate because it's based on Motley Crue's, you know, that all four of them wrote their autobiography. And it's a really,
what's
really
it called?
Good. The Dirt. It's like the Bohemian Rhapsody, and not nearly as good, but or La Bamba. It's just the Motley Crue life story from their, you know, from their humble beginnings to their getting together to, you know, to like their first retirement, which now they're on their second coming out of retirement tour. Or, well, they're actually together and doing music again together. Not really touring yet, but it's planned. They would have toured had it not been for COVID. But, watch that. But I'd always heard this story. I heard those guys tell it, and I heard other people tell the story. But there's some hotel, you know, early, when, you know, it was during one day, you know, well before a show, but probably after a previous night show. And the crew is down at the pool, and I don't know what Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee are doing, if they're just seeing who's the craziest or grossest or whatever. But they're doing these crazy things, and Ozzy comes around about the time that one of them, and I don't remember if it's, you know, the bassist Nikki Sixx or the drummer Tommy Lee that was, you know, married to Pamela Anderson, but one of them took a piss on the ground, and the other one lapped it up in front of everybody because they were showing, you know, who was the craziest. And a couple of feet from the stream of piss on the sidewalk there beside the pool was a line of ants. Dun, 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 dun. You know, there's a line of army ants, you know. Ozzy comes out there in like a moo moo. What the fuck are you doing? And, you know, and he sees what they're doing, so he gets down on his hands and knees and he snorts that line of ants up his fucking nose, just like it's a line of coke.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
That was the end of the contest.
No shit.
That's a true story. I mean, I've always heard that. And then they depict it in the movie, and it's just like, the Dirt was actually, it's a Netflix original, but it was actually surprisingly good and well acted. And there's almost like no one I've ever heard of in it. Like the guy from, somebody from Game of Thrones is in it, I think, maybe. But other than that, I don't recognize anybody in it. Not that I watch Game of Thrones, but somebody told me he plays Mick Mars, the guitarist. But yeah, if you were a Motley Crue fan, watch that. It's good. I know Bigfoot used to listen to Motley Crue.
Yeah, he did too. You know. Did you ever see the movie the one about Elton John?
Not yet. Rocket Man. It's on my list. I want to watch it, but I started it and I couldn't get past the first 10 minutes where he was sitting in that group therapy.
I didn't like it.
Session and that outlandish, but now I've heard it was good. But
yeah, we seen it in the theater when it came out. I didn't like the movie, and I think the reason why I did not like the movie is because I seen Bohemian Rhapsody, and that movie was totally different than this one.
Oh my God!
And
that's what I'm
you know they
say,
start singing
about Bohemian.
Like he starts like in the Rocket Man, he like breaks out like in these musicals and shit, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I love musicals and I love watching like stuff, but it's like watching Grease, you know, like you know, it's just a weird, it's just weird. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. So, but I think what happened was because I seen the Bohemian Rhapsody, I think that ruined it to the point where I was hoping that it would be something like that, and it wasn't like that.
Yeah, Jerry, you actually read my mind. That's what I was thinking. I was like, until Bohemian Rhapsody, which has been a while since I saw it the last time. I saw it all the way through, like back to back, like 2 days in a row. The first time that I saw it when it first came out, to where you could, you know, funny story. I actually ordered it from Comcast. You know, got the digital copy. And then I called and complained about something else, and I asked for credit, and then I'll just give you credit for that Bohemian Rhapsody movie you bought. And I said, well, I still get to keep it. He said, yeah, but of course I didn't. But when I first bought it, I watched it twice. Then when it hit, like, the premium channels, I've watched it at least a couple of more times, and then I've seen different parts of it you know, 8 or 10 other times, but I've seen it all the way through probably 4 times. And never have I enjoyed, and I love a good biography, especially about a, you know, a music star. Never have I seen one that great. And, man, I'm so glad that dude that played Freddie Mercury got the Oscar. Rami, what was it, Rami?
Yeah, Rami, Rami.
Rami, R-A-M-I, and then his last name's like Malco or something.
Yeah, but anyway. He was actually in the movie Twilight, you know, the movie Twilight and the vampire movie.
Oh, really?
He played in that.
Man, he so deserved that Oscar.
But he did a great job of that. And by the way, I don't know if you knew, but some of those scenes where they're singing, where there's no music and stuff, like where he's at the piano and stuff, that's actually that's Adam Lambert singing.
Oh, really? And I knew Adam Lambert was in the movie. He plays the trucker that the first American Freddie Mercury sleeps with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And but Adam Lambert actually did the voices, songs too. While there's, because you remember like when he sings Happy Birthday, you know, when he's singing, that's actually Adam Lambert.
Wow. That's so cool.
And,
he's what about, you know, Adam Lambert, you know, goes on American Idol, and Pepsi was the primary, or Coke one. I think it was Pepsi was the primary sponsor then, and, you know, they're the one. They are the reason that Adam Lambert came in second and didn't win. The sponsor.
Really?
Held, oh, yes, it was all over, it was all over the news, and, you know, Adam Lambert was a good sport about it. I think he should have sued, but the corporate sponsor, and I think it was Pepsi. It might have been Coke, but I'm pretty sure it was Pepsi. They held Boat for Chris Allen parties the night of, you know, the final performances. They provided people with prepaid cell phones and showed them how to do what then was called power texting, where they could send 100 texts, you know, at one time for Chris Allen, because, you know, you could vote as much as you wanted. And so they did all that. You know, what has Chris Allen done? Adam Lambert was asked to go on tour with one of his favorite bands, and he became the lead singer for fucking Queen.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Pepsi. I think it was AT&T. I think it was AT&T because they provided the cell phones. It was all a big stink, and it made me not watch American Idol for the next couple of years because Chris Allen was a good singer, but he was a good singer. He was not a good entertainer.
Right.
And
Adam Lambert,
he did not deserve to win.
And I think that – and Adam Lambert actually went on to be more of a big star – I mean, bigger than he is. I mean, he's done so much.
I loved when at the Oscars that year when Adam Lambert performed with Queen. But, you know, he toured with Queen. I don't know if he's still with Queen or they still do anything because they're all like in their 60s and 70s, and he's in his 30s.
Yeah. They were doing tours over. They were doing tours over in Europe, and so they're supposed to be doing. I think they're getting ready to do some more touring again with Adam Lambert. And I actually watched some of the video on YouTube. If you go on YouTube and look it up, it's so cool, man. Like watching Adam Lambert do like the song "Bicycle" from Queen, and he comes out on a bicycle, you know, and of course. Everybody goes, oh, my God, he looks so flamboyant. Oh, my God, he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, but you got to understand that's how Freddie Mercury was, too. And Adam Lambert does it his own way, but it's still something that you would think of that actually Freddie Mercury would do, you know, in today, if it was today.
Right.
Yeah, I love the movie. I love the movie, and I love Adam. I think Adam Lambert was awesome.
All right, No musical biography can measure up until that's kind of, you know, not still fresh in my mind. I can sit down and watch that movie again right now.
Absolutely. I watch it probably 100 times. I mean, I watch them probably at least once or twice a month. And my favorite thing, and I'm really amazed how they did it, but the
Wembley Stadium, you know, the concert they did for AIDS benefit, and when he performed, and then of course they got all the crowd and everything. It is funny, man. I thought that they did it. I thought they actually did it at Wembley Stadium, but they didn't. They actually just built a set of half the stage. It was the stage, and then a portion of, you know, what looked like, you know, some of the seating and stuff. It was just like half. I mean, they didn't even have the whole stadium. They only had like a portion of it, like maybe the first, you know, a little bend of the seating and stuff. But anyway, the rest of it's all CGI. It's all computerized. And I thought, that is badass. It looks real. It looked real.
Oh, yeah, that's...
His mannerisms, oh, my God, the mannerisms he did, singing the song, everything was like, when they did the show, when they did the movie, it was like amazing because everything's down to the T, the cup on the you know, the same type of cup and everything on top of the piano and you know, all that stuff, the people hanging in the rafters, you know, it's like the same shit. It's like watching it. It was like you were there, you know, like you were there again.
It was like that one scene where that's like, pan up, you know, the producer's like, God damn, he's got a big cock. We can't show that. That fucking the original music video for Bohemian Rhapsody when he's walking around. My God. The man was deformed. And I'm not talking about his mouth either.
He's a walking testicle with legs.
Yeah. When he can tie his penis in a knot twice. Oh
God, that's funny. Well, and Freddie Mercury, man, he had some wild parties and everything too.
Oh yeah, but man, was he not a genius with an incredible gift? What was it? Is had the four? He had like 36 teeth. Is why his mouth was so big. He was born with, what do you say, four extra incisors.
Yeah.
And so his mouth was so big, he could open it wider, like unhinged, like a snake eating, or, you know, eating larger prey.
Yeah.
So it gave him a higher range. It was just like, he could sing in chest voice higher than a lot of singers who can sing really high in their head voice. I mean, he
yeah.
could sing higher
oh, yeah.
in his chest voice than a lot of people can in falsetto.
Oh, yeah. It was really, and again, I mean, that's what I liked about Freddie Mercury. He just had you know, it's like one of those people that sing and they have like, you know, it's like Elvis and all them. There's a unique charisma they have. And,
oh yeah,
you know, and when I grew up, I wasn't like a big Queen fan. I wasn't like humongous. But then when I watched the movie, it made me respect, you know, who he was. And it made me more of a Queen fan. Like I really... was a bigger Queen fan after watching the movie.
Right. Well, when I was growing up, there was another one, Bites the Dust, was out and popular. And then, you know, the last album or two, that, what's that one? I forget. It was one of the last albums, you know, and then he dies around, like, what, 1989 or 90 or so, or 91,
yeah.
Whatever. You know, but I'd only known the newer stuff from Another One Bites the Dust on and not really that much of it. And then when Wayne's World came out, you know, like everybody else, you know, before I seen the movie, I was seeing the video on MTV, you know, that had the footage of Wayne's World. And, of course, I saw Wayne's World with my first love, first place we ever went together. And actually, the first thing we ever went to was a basketball game, and this is like the second, like the night after, or the next weekend. But and you know, the Bohemian Rhapsody song, I'm like, man, I got to get that. And then I discovered the older stuff, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, this is a good band.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Fat Bottom Girls
oh, yeah.
will always be a rock anthem.
Yeah, I thought it was very sad to hear. I mean, just what, you know, I watched a movie, or it was a documentary, actually, and it was about Freddie Mercury.
You're cutting in and out, Jerry.
Oh, sorry about that. Hang on. Sorry about that. So, like, when he was real frail, his bodyguard was, like, would actually go and get his what he would do is get a mannequin and dress the mannequin up like Freddie Mercury. And even though Freddie Mercury was sick in bed, he would drive the mannequin around, you know, just drive it around in the streets, and so the paparazzi would take pictures of it, of the mannequin, so that way they would think that, oh, Freddie Mercury's okay. They're, you know, all these rumors are false about him being really sick. And so he would do that to keep up the image that Freddie Mercury was actually driving around and doing things.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and there was I was home when they were recording that last album. They said there were days where he could hardly stand up. He would have like 103 fever, and he would be congested. You know, he had chronic pneumonia, and his voice would be cracking. And they said he would lean up against the table or something and toss back a couple of vodkas, and said then he was good to go. And you know, there are some high notes in that album, and this was just a few months before he died. And listen to the song "The Show Must Go On." It'll bring tears to your eyes.
Yes.
My body may be aching, my makeup may be flaking. Oh my God, it's so sad. The show must go
yeah.
on. Oh, I cried the first time I heard it. It is. It's really sad. That's from that album.
Oh man,
he looked like
yeah.
You know, there's some video footage of the making of that album, and he is just like so thin and pasty white. He's so pasty white that they decided to change the footage to black and white, so it's not available
yeah.
in color. But yeah. that's what I heard. He was so pale they couldn't even, you know, colorize him enough, so they, you know, to keep him from looking dead, so they put it out in black and white only.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yep.
45.
I remember seeing the one where they put a lot of they had a color one. He sang the song called "The Great Pretender," and they actually put so much makeup on him, trying to make him look healthy. He just looked, even made him look more sick, you know, but obviously he was sick.
Yeah, do you ever watch The Mask?
Oh, we lost David. I don't know what happened to him. He just went bye-bye. Oh, Dave. He said his phone just died. Okay. Well, since David's phone died, we'll continue on here. We're talking about Sasquatch and everything like that. And there's one little piece of audio, obviously, that I had left over for all this stuff that was going on. And, of course, talking about Sasquatch and all this stuff that's going on, let's about the Sasquatch. And here it is.
Attention all viewers. The program you're about to watch, Searching for Sasquatch, is for entertainment purposes. Accounts described by guests are claimed to be true and accurate. Some names have been changed to protect individual privacy. Jason Kenzie is an expert animal adventurer with 25 years of field experience. Caution and companionship is advised for all who venture into the deep forest or backcountry.
Folklore is the expressive body of culture shared by a particular group of people. It encompasses the traditions common to the culture, subculture, or group. Collective hysteria is a phenomena that transmits collective illusions of threats through real or imaginary through a population and society as a result of rumors and fear. Some say there are monsters that walk the deep forest. Others believe is our imagination running wild? What is it that people say they are seeing that is so unimaginable?
Can you imagine? You're hiking through the forest when all of a sudden there's a crack and you wonder, maybe it's a deer or a cute little chipmunk. When all of a sudden your imagination takes control and you start thinking, well, maybe it's a bear. I'm in British Columbia, Canada, and I'm searching for this creature that is 9 feet tall, covered in hair, walks on two legs. The indigenous people call this creature Sasquatch. But if you go south of the border, they call this creature Bigfoot. And if you go to the mountains of the Himalayas, they call it the Yeti or the Abominable Snowman. And if you go to Australia, they call it the Yowie. And some say that if you go to China, they call it the Huawei. In this episode, I'm going to be talking to a few eyewitnesses who say they have seen Sasquatch. Now, I'm a bit of a skeptic because I have never seen this creature firsthand. So here's the thing. You hear about these hikers and these hunters who have an encounter with something that screams at them, that howls, that throws rocks. And these people, they run for their lives. And later on, when they talk to authorities, they say, wow, I'm so lucky to get away. Maybe it's not luck. Maybe if these creatures are real, they live their lives in the forest. They can see in pure darkness. You're on their territory. So really, if they really wanted to kill you, there is literally nothing you could do. They would just take you out. But yet they let these people run away. This just tells me that these creatures, they just want to be left alone and they just don't want you on their territory. That's if they really do exist. What are we waiting for? Come on, let's go. We live in a world where people love their pets more than anything else. As an extreme pet photographer, I'm hired to photograph the most amazing animals people live with. I'm Jason Kenzie, and these are my chronicles. These are my animal adventures.
Oh, you can see the colors.
My champagne sauce.
You have to turn around it.
This is what life is about. Before I head up to Cathedral Lake, I get a call from Shane, who lives up in Headley, B.C. Shane is a member of the Shoshone Indigenous Band. He has an interesting story to tell me about his encounter with four Sasquatches.
It was probably a couple years ago. We're sitting out on the porch. We're having a cigarette. And it was over on that hill behind the house. And we're sitting there, and we heard a big rock being thrown from the hill. And it was winter, and it was really, really cold out, and they're moving, and this is a Sasquatch crossing coming through here, through the reservation, Upper Smoky Mean there, and I ran in the house. I was actually pretty freaked out about it, and so I came back outside, and we heard something over there, and it was breaking branches, and it walked over to the corner, and from the light on the balcony, you can see these two eyes, and it was standing pretty tall. And so I grabbed these two sticks that I had, and I banged them together, and I waited for about 30 seconds, and then one was right by the corner over there. It banged the sticks together, and then
it actually banged the sticks together.
It called back to me,
yeah.
And then sooner, not even 10 minutes after that, I did it a couple more times, and then we heard it all the way around from down over there. And down over there, and they're even over in the field over here. There's about four of them that night.
There was four of them, so.
Yeah.
So how close were you exactly?
Well, from the balcony to the edge of the hill over there, I'd say it's probably about a good 100 feet. Yeah.
And so, did you go in, like, the next morning, did you go and check it out?
Next morning, there's there's the wind that's blowing the snow all the way around, and it was snowing that night too. It snowed pretty heavy.
So you know what a bear looks like, because I imagine you hunt.
Yeah.
And cougar?
Yeah, I know what a cougar looks like.
A bunny?
Yeah.
Could have been.
I've seen one today at work.
So how do you know it's not a bear? What made you think, like before this incident happened, did you believe in Sasquatch?
Oh yeah, I believed in them.
Wow, this is an incredible story.
Yeah.
So if I was to come back tonight and look around, I think there could be a chance that I might find something?
You might. There's a great possibility because this is a Sasquatch crossing, and they do need to come for water at some times.
So where do you think they might be? Like?
Well, they come down from up in the mountain over there behind our house, and they cross through here.
Well, this is great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Shane's encounter sounds fascinating and is so unreal. I do believe he had an experience with something. And the fact that he wasn't alone and others in his family also heard the same noises makes me wonder. I'm still not convinced that a Sasquatch is real. How can something so massively huge stay undetected in these forests for so long without being captured by one of the thousands of trail cams that litter the woods? I won't be able to spend the night here. I must quickly pack up because I have a meeting with three more eyewitnesses who claim they have Bigfoot as their neighbor. My adventure up to Cathedral Lake started great. I was met by the employees of the lodge, and I was driven in an off-road vehicle through some of British Columbia's most beautiful scenery. Suddenly, my trip took a turn for the worst when a tree either fell or was pushed.
Oh, watch it! Oh, coming down!
Assessing the situation, I wasn't sure what had happened. Was it the work of a big, hairy crypto creature that didn't want us to see?
Damn, those squirrels don't want us to get through.
All I knew is we needed to cut this tree and get it out of our way so we can proceed up to the lake.
Yeah, good. Good, good, good.
I'm about to meet Jordan and Cody. They say they have had an experience with this big hairy creature. I'm very excited to meet him and see what he has to say. This place has a lot of mosquitoes. They're huge. They could like carry you off. In fact, when you look up, holy cow, there's a lot of them. You can see them against the blue sky. Oh no, one's got me.
Hi, my name is Jordan Padmos. We're at Cathedral Lakes Lodge.
I'm with Cody right now, and he's about to talk to me about a Sasquatch sighting that he had a few years ago. Hi, nice to meet you, Cody.
Nice to meet you.
20 years ago, I came out of this shower house and looked up the hillside here and saw these red eyes looking back at me in the bush. And then I went back quickly to my staff cabin that night, and that's all I saw. But that same year, we had another guest report red eyes in a cave up coming off a trail off Lady Slipper Lake. And then the park ranger, Jen at the time, she was camping up a glacier, and she heard a loud pounding in the bush.
So it was my first night up here, actually, just up here. Actually, I came out to use the outhouse, and it was windy. It had been snowing, but it had cleared up. And I heard
how,
this...
How long ago was this?
This is 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago. So it's a pretty cool night. It was windy, but I heard something going against the rhythm of the wind, and it sounded like someone taking a log and bashing it against a tree.
On the ground or something, a loud thumping, and a really strong smell, and she was an official BC park ranger.
What time of day was this? What, with you?
With me, it was nighttime.
Okay?
Yeah, it was about 9, 10 o'clock at night.
And tell me about the scent.
Yeah. And then we, at the time we had pigs up here to eat all the compost. So we had a big chain link fence up there.
And it was coming from actually down in here. And it was rhythmic. It was three shots. It was... And then it would just stop. And then...
Did you decide to bang back?
No. I see all the hair stood up on the back of my neck. It kind of freaked me out. I was just up here, and, you know, it's my first night up here, and I was like, it's weird, but I've spent time in the bush, right? So it kind of freaked me out a bit, and I told everyone the next morning, and everyone's kind of jiving me about Sasquatch, right?
8-foot fence, and something one night had pushed the fence right down and doubled it down to the ground, and it had eaten all the eggshells, which were leftovers, which the pigs didn't eat, which we thought was really strange.
But our head cleaner at the time, she heard it too. She came down and it actually woke her up in the middle of the night. So I asked the ranger the next day if he was chopping wood or something over there, and he said...
In the middle of the night?
Yeah, in the middle of the night or something, you know, you never know what it is, but I've never heard anything since like that, so... And, you know, this is my first night up here, so I thought maybe...
So how close do you think it was, like...
And it left a big scat outside of a human-sized turd full of eggshells that we kept and tried to send to the lab, but we never did.
It was probably half a click in the bush.
No, so you couldn't even walk up in that direction to...
No, and it was dark, right? So, but yeah, it was definitely... I've never heard anything like it. I know the owner of the lodge has talked about he's heard smashing before, smashing on the ground. But that one sounded like someone had picked a log up and was smashing a log against a tree. Probably about 10 years ago, we had a driver named Paul from the Lower Similkameen Indian Band, and he worked here for quite a number of years. But they have a theory that every 10 years or so, this area, they migrate through, the Sasquatch migrate through, because you'll get years where you don't hear anything, and then you get years when there's tons of activity. So the Similkameen Band figures that this area is a traditional Sasquatch area.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
After interviewing Jordan and Cody, I was eager to go out and do a night investigation. While I wait for darkness to fall, I head out into the forest to explore the area and see if I can find any evidence of Sasquatch. A simple footprint would be great. Everywhere I looked, there was beauty all around me. The forest floor was thick with branches and with fallen trees, and at times it was hard to walk through. And I thought to myself, where would a 9-foot, 1,000-pound creature be able to hide? Probably higher up on the mountain, above the tree line. This is where I must go. The views from way up here are absolutely stunning. I can see why Sasquatch would migrate across here. Suddenly, I see movement just to the left of me. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the creature I've been told about. Sasquatch could be anywhere. Obviously, he's not here in this huge cave. As I move from around a rock, very cautiously, I came face to face with the cutest mountain goat ever. I waited till the sun set and the full moon to light up the forest shadow. It's now time for me to hunt. Now hiking in the forest around this lake, and up here I see that there's a rock formation. Looks like there could be a cave. I don't know what I'm going to find here, but I know that there's cougars. My time with the three witnesses only brought out more questions than answers. I truly want to believe there are giant man-like primates lurking in our Canadian forest. But without first-hand experience, I must keep my beliefs in check. There are a few things that all three eyewitnesses said about Sasquatch. One, they both saw strange eyes that glow red. Two, all of their experiences happened at night. And three, whatever they heard were sounds that they didn't recognize, which is strange all to itself, because they all did extensive adventures in the wilderness. They know the sounds of most of the animals in the wilds of British Columbia. Wow, these are huge rocks. Just gonna listen. Now remember, people say they have heard strange noises in the deep, dark forest. So I don't know what I'm gonna find. I know there's cougar up here. I know there's mountain goat.
I know that there's lots of deer, and allegedly, there's supposed to be lots of Sasquatch. As I peer off into the darkness, I can't help but wonder, what did these guys see that had glowing red eyes? There's only one animal that I can think of that has red eyes. They come out at night. These are owls, and they do perch on branches at a minimum of 9 feet off the ground. So maybe this is what these guys are seeing. Tomorrow, I'm going to be meeting the owner of this lodge. He's been up here for like over 50 years. He has some incredible Sasquatch stories. Like I said, could they be real? We're going to find out tomorrow. You know what? I think it's time to head back to camp. I had just fallen asleep when I was awakened by breaking branches.
There's something outside of my tent.
There's an animal. I guess I left the food too close to my tent.
I got the light. I'm going to go check to see if I can see anything. Okay.
Something told me it was either a raccoon or one of the many deer that grazes the area.
I don't see anything. I see nothing. I see dead people.
No, I don't see anything. As I unzipped my tent, I had mixed feelings. I really wanted it to be Bigfoot. On the other hand, I didn't want to be the big guy's lunch. Holy crap, what the f*** is that? I have journeyed into the mountains around the Silkameen territory. I have just met witnesses who say they have had encounters with the creature known as Sasquatch.
And looked up the hillside here and saw these red eyes.
And it was coming from actually down in here.
I have just been woken up from my sleep in the middle of the night by a growl and seeing a large shadow outside my tent.
I'll just turn this light a little bit. There. There. I'm a homeboy. I'm a homeboy camper. Okay, it's nothing. Whatever was out here is gone. Time to go back to sleep. Okay?
Well, I didn't get too much sleep last night. Whatever came around my tent left me a little rattled. For all I know, it could have been a bear. Now that I have my gear ready, it's time for me to meet Richard.
Richard, nice to meet you.
Hi,
I'm Jason.
Hi, Jason.
So you have a Sasquatch story about...
Well, the last Sasquatch story we have was about 4 years ago. We had one of our guests came down and he said, there's some really strange tracks in Scout Lake. He said, I don't know what they are. And so we went and looked at them and they were big tracks, probably, maybe a foot long, but they were embedded really deep in the mud. And you could see wherever it was went into the water, and you could see the track. Whatever it had, the stride was each footprint was about 6 feet. So this, it must have been pretty tall. Had a long stride, and then it just disappeared in the middle of the lake. And I walked all around the lake to see where it came out. I couldn't see any place where it came out. And then I went up above the lake on the ridge above it, and I looked down. And I could see the tracks going out in the middle of the lake and just stopping. So some people say it was a moose, but if it was a moose, he had to walk in and walk so that his back feet went exactly into the same track as his front feet, because this was a biped. There was only two tracks. It wasn't four-footed. And then wherever it was had to walk out exactly on the same tracks, because there's only one set of tracks in, and then it just disappeared.
Were there any on dry land? Were they all in the water?
No. You could see a little bit of scuff in dry land, but... So if you go, you can still see his tracks in Scout Lake.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was probably, I've got pictures of it when it first happened, but it was probably, I'm guessing, 4 or 5 years ago.
How did he keep them still there?
Like they're so embedded in the mud in the bottom of the lake that they're still there.
Huh.
And
where's Scout Lake?
Scout Lake is just really less than maybe half an hour, 40-minute walk on the Diamond Trail. And if you go right down to the lake, there's a little clearing.
Yeah.
To be honest, as soon as Richard said that the tracks can still be visually seen to this day, I didn't hear another word he said. I was just excited to hike to the lake to see these so-called Sasquatch tracks for myself.
So have you ever physically seen one?
No, I had one follow me once, so I could hear him, and I knew he was, I could smell him and hear him behind me. And then I went up, that night I was up, and we used to run the generator before we had solar, and we shut the generator off at 11 o'clock, so I went up there at 11 o'clock, and I knew there was something around there, right? And I could feel it, and then he followed me, and I went up that night, and I slept up on the top of Glacier Lake,
yeah.
And about 3 o'clock in the morning, he started banging the ground right near where I was sleeping and woke me up.
Uh-huh.
I never saw him, though.
Thank you okay. so much.
Yeah.
Thank
okay.
you so much.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Thank you.
I hope you get a picture of one.
Yes, you never know what might happen.
And because I'm heading up to higher altitude, I just had to stop and change my shirt to something a little warmer.
I am on my way to Scout Lake. This is where Richard said that he found these huge footprints leading into the lake and possibly across it. I hope that I find something.
As I journey up to Scout Lake, I'm in awe with how much beauty is all around me. British Columbia is an amazing place to get out and love life. And now I go over the little details I've heard so far. Sasquatch, it's a large creature, 9 to 10 feet tall, covered in hair. They give off a loud vocal siren to communicate, and this can be heard for miles. And because they don't have access to soap, they stink bad, and their eyes glow red. Some ask, why does their eyes glow? Well, nocturnal animals have a mirror-like layer called tapetum lucidum. For increasing their night vision, this reflection of light causes the tapetum to glow and have animals' eyes appear red, green, or any other color. Such animals with these kind of eyes are owls, coyotes, bears, deer, dogs, and cats. In order for these eyes to glow, you need a light source to be flashing towards that subject. Some say they have seen these red eyes in the forest without even shining a flashlight on them.
So I'm here now at Scout Lake. Now, it does look like there's been something walking around in this lake. I'm going to put the drone up and see what I can see from overhead. But I do know that this lake is not very deep. Maybe up to my waist. But to a Sasquatch, that would be up to his knee.
There's no argument that something has been walking in the water. It's probably a bear. But I can't see footprints lasting too long in the water. Not to mention for years. And no matter how deep into the mud these footprints go, I'm still not convinced. I hike higher into the rocky terrain, hoping to get a better look at the surroundings. After a few nights of exploring and not finding anything that has to do with Sasquatch, I make a few phone calls and decide to head out into another area of BC. Except this time, where I'm going, I don't need a vehicle. My next adventure, searching for Sasquatch, takes me to an area a few hundred miles from Vancouver, an area known to have alleged Sasquatch sightings. Here I will spend the night hoping to have an encounter. I'm in one of the most beautiful places on the planet, and you can see landscapes like this over my shoulder. Look at this. Look how beautiful that is. Why can't there be a 9-foot creature living down there? Oh, families of them. Night one. It's going to be interesting. As I sit around the fire, catching the warmth, my ears are scanning the area for any sounds. I just know it's going to be a long night. So I just heard some crunching in the forest just over there behind me. The forest here in British Columbia can be very scary at night.
Whoop! I do what is called a whoop, and some researchers believe that this is how Sasquatches communicate with each other.
You hear that? Something over there. There is something in the forest. It's going to be a very long night. As I stand here in the darkness, listening to the sounds of something moving in the forest, I can't help but remember searching for this mythical creature in a place so far off grid that even ships would lose their way and end up creating their own graveyard. To this day, the first people echo ancient tales of encounters and sightings of what they truly believe is Sasquatch.
My name is Jean Yellowstone. This is my Sasquatch encounter. You know, we were out picking mushrooms, enjoying a beautiful sunny day on a hike. You know, next thing you know, when halfway up the mountain, we had seen a few wild animals. And when we seen them, we just ignored them and kept on walking and hiking and looking for our mushrooms. Next thing you know, we seen something bigger, really big, out of place, and it was dark. You know, and tall. So when we got closer, about 150 feet away, we had seen and recognized it was a Sasquatch. So we froze. Didn't know what to do. Next thing you know, we just stood there with a
And so how long did he stand there before it disappeared?
I would say a good 20 seconds. 20 seconds. And he looked at us and wondering what to do, I guess, and just kept on going. No, because we didn't do nothing.
And then what did you guys do?
Watched them.
Did you turn around and go back?
No, we just wanted to make sure that he just stood there and not followed us. He was far enough away so we could walk away and go in a different direction.
Gene's story has always stuck in my head. So here I am now, in the darkness, trying to solve a mystery that may or may not be real. It's getting late. I'm going to probably turn in for the night, but I'm going to keep one ear open. It's late. This is going to be the first time that I've slept in a hammock tent. I don't need this. Doing good. I bet you Sasquatch is over there laughing at me right now. Trying not to fall out of a freaking hammock tent. Okay, I'm good. Son of a Okay. I meant to do this. Okay. Do this. Try this again. There we go. Much better. All right. Time to say goodnight. Thank you. It's hard to see anything. There's something walking around out there. I can't tell if it has two legs or four legs. All I know, it's a bunny. I can't see anything in this tent. Whatever it was, it's gone now. I guess it's back to bed I go. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
I know I won't sleep for the rest of the night. I'm hoping tomorrow I find some big footprints to cast. I know that the sounds I heard last night were of coyotes. This area has thousands of them, all hunting for food. There are over 80,000 species of animals that call Canada home, none of which includes a 900-pound, 10-foot-tall man-ape, at least not yet. After a few hours of searching the forest ground for any signs of large 17-inch footprint, I didn't find nothing.
Wow, this is so cool. Look at this. Wow. So, throughout the Canadian wilderness, you will always come across mushrooms everywhere. This will be delicious for me to eat, and I know that I won't get sick. I'm just kidding. If you don't have a clue what kind of mushroom it is, like I have no idea what kind of mushroom it is, but it's definitely going to make me sick probably, and it's going to give me a stomachache, and that's going to be the end of my Sasquatch hunt. And I'll leave you alone.
And it was time for me to leave this area. I'm meeting up with a friend of mine and heading into another location that some say is the Sasquatch hotspot in the world. This is going to be an interesting night. I'm going to have my friend with me tonight. His name is Paul. And hopefully, tonight, we get some kind of action. Maybe a yelp. Maybe some wood knocks back. This is going to be great. Deer Lake is my next location. Only a couple of hours past Harrison Hospital, in the middle of nowhere, this place is allegedly a hotspot for paranormal activity, including giant hairy monsters. There are thousands of reported sightings of a big hairy creature walking on two legs, crossing in front of unexpected drivers on these logging roads throughout North America. For tonight, I'm not sure what to expect. I do know that this area that I'm headed to has had their fair share of Sasquatch sightings over the years. You know, it's refreshing to have company with me tonight. One thing about having another person with you, and that is if there is an experience tonight, at least you have an eyewitness to back you up. And also, if Sasquatch does attack us, I just have to outrun Paul.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing. Paul and I are now, I'm with my buddy Paul, and we're in the forest. And we're hoping that we can get some kind of experience tonight, either with, well, Sasquatch. It's so strange here and so quiet. Where do you want to set up camp? I got one of these easy tents that sets up really nicely. Simple as that. So what do you think about all this?
Awesome. Good to be out in nature, get out, get some fresh air, see a nice clean environment.
I'll see you guys in a second once we get the fire going.
Let's lose all what?
Right on.
Okay, so we're just going to get a fire going, and then after we have this done, we're going to see if we can find some Sasquatches. I can't help but laugh at that because I don't even know if they're real.
What's that noise? You hear that? You hear that noise? I hear a noise.
I'm not sure, but Paul, it's probably two branches rubbing together in the wind.
What is that noise?
Do you hear that?
That
could be any sound.
I heard a bird, I think. Was it some kind of squeak? Do Sasquatches make a little squeak?
Yeah, they do whistles. Oh, they can whistle. Allegedly.
Like
that's
that?
If they're real.
How about this one? Do they whistle like that?
They can.
Oh, they can?
They can.
How about this one? How about...
They could.
They could?
Campfire good times.
A little wet leaf there. Oh, yeah.
So Paul and I are here. We are going to be doing a little bit of Sasquatch yelping and some wood knocks. We brought ourselves a bat. So what do you think about Sasquatch, Paul?
Well, there's something out there for sure. There's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of footprints, for example. There's a lot of stories. First Canadians that I know, they talk about seeing them. And they like to keep it a little quiet. And I don't blame them. And I respect that. And I respect Mother Earth. And I respect the all the different kinds of creatures that are out there.
What about no remains? Nobody's ever found a body.
I can't explain it. Maybe there's a certain kind of burial that they do. Or maybe they're just some kind of alien that, you know, have some kind of self-destruction button or something that they press and they die.
Well, I believe that if there is a Sasquatch out there, there has to be a lot of them. It can't be just one or two.
Yeah, there's probably lots of them.
So what do you think? Do you want to go for a walk? You can do a couple of yelps. Whack the baseball bat across the street. Do some wood knocks. Of course, nobody ever looks up because you know this creature could just be right above you in the tree. Allegedly, he's supposed to be half gorilla and half man. We're in an area where allegedly these creatures live. Here, let me give it a whack.
Sure.
I want to believe that my knocks into the night haven't gone unnoticed. Maybe the thousands of Sasquatches that are believed to exist are on holiday. Maybe Shane is onto something.
This is a Sasquatch crossing coming through here.
We have the perfect night, too. not too cold. It's not pouring rain out. I think that's coyotes.
Maybe these hairy men of the woods do migrate to the south of the border.
This is my theory. When these Sasquatch hunters go out into the forest and they do their Sasquatch yelps, woo, and they get something back, how do they not know that it isn't a bunch of hunters or campers, which are like 5 or 6 kilometers away, hearing it and yelping back? You know, I may be a bit of a skeptic, but I do love a good mystery.
Woo! Oh! Oh!
Well, I'm still not convinced that Sasquatch is real. You know, I haven't had any experiences yet, but I'm not giving up. It's creepy. I gotta get some sleep tonight, because tomorrow is gonna be a big day. Woo!
My investigations have led me to some interesting locations, exploring lakes, untouched wilderness, first growth forests, and caves, both frozen and catacombs. I do wonder what my first reaction would be if I ever come face to face with one. Well, you know, first off, being that I'm only 5'6", my first time encounter would probably be more like face to stomach. The mystery of Sasquatch may never be solved, but the fun of searching for them will always live on in our outdoor adventures forever. To be continued.